Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. There are no words, there are no limits to how much we should be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to us. He has bestowed us, given us the wealth of belief, faith, iman, and the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He has allowed us, given us the ability to recite this from our tongues and our hearts. Now this is the glory, the status of this, that however much, even a low quantity, even if it's a small amount, an atom's weight, but the effect of this is such that it takes that person out of hellfire. So it's up to us. Just like, for example, if you have a one-bed house, you can then expand it, a two-bed house or a two-story house or a five-story house. You can increase the capacity. So base is iman. With iman faith, we can promote ourselves and improve ourselves. There's no limit to what we can achieve. Alhamdulillah. So there are some people who are weak. They fall down in the dunya. They slip up in the dunya. And they just are satisfied with their minuscule, small-scale iman, but they don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us the amount of breaths we have in our lives, and within this life, within these number of breaths, we should make effort, we should try hard. That's why Allah ta'ala has given us life. Allah ta'ala says that I've given you the life for this reason, that Allah ta'ala, we request that Allah give us long life and a good life, not for eating, drinking, not for amassing wealth, but give us life for this reason, that in the morning we can pass the time in your remembrance, and in the evening we can pass the time in your remembrance. That's when there's benefit of life. If we're just eating, drinking, and just running around, then life is nothing at all. Yeah? So, if this is just life, sleep, wake up, eat, drink, and get married, have children, become old, and count the money in the bank and look at the bank balance and then retire. This is, even the animals do this. Even the cat does this, even the dog does this. Even they have children, they eat and they do different actions, then they die, the animals. So the Ashraf al-Makhluqat, the superior form of creation that Allah Ta'ala has given us the title, who are we connected to? Think for a moment. Alhamdulillah. What a prophet. And just, subhanAllah, has just gone, the night of Miraj has just passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the glory of His Nabi, that what is the glory of His Nabi? That never has anyone human come like this, never will he come, anyone like this. So many prophets passed, but the status of Allah's Habibism that He defined. So we should be very proud that we have a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a great situation of pride. There's nothing that can compare to this pride. In the world, in the grave, if there's pride, our pride should be that we have nisbat, connection with Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. So this is faith, iman, my brothers. This is how great it is. Even the small scale, weak iman, but it is a massive light. It has a big effect. It has a massive effect. That if you take the biggest status of man in the world who doesn't have iman, can he be saved from the fire of Jahannam? Can he? Forever, the Quran has decided. Allah's decision is this. That doesn't matter how big a status he has in the world, he's a big shot, he's acclaimed, but if he has no iman, he will not be saved. How long? Allahu alam. Allah will throw that person into hellfire. Tell me. But, person who has iman, even if it's an atom's weight of iman, mustard seed of iman, Allah Ta'ala said that I will not keep him in Jahannam, I will extract him. And rather, some Mufassireen have said a beautiful thing here, that those people of iman, they will be put in hell, won't be for punishment, say subhanAllah. It's due to their foolishness that you were given an opportunity, the sins that they were sticking to your body. If in the world you had washed yourself, you had sat in a gathering of dhikr, then all your sins would have been forgiven, subhanAllah. That in your fortune, that you, up to your death, that the days of death came, you're old, and you're coughing and spluttering. You don't even know that there's a gathering. If you go to the gathering of remembrance of Allah, Allah will wipe away all of your sins. When your sins are wiped away, then Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want to keep you in Jahannam. Why should I send you to Jahannam? I'll send you to Jahannam, to hell, because you didn't purify yourself in the world. So I want to purify you through the fire. clean you. So it's our option whether here we purify ourselves or we get purified in the fire of hell. Such Allah Ta'ala has given us amal, deeds, opportunities, such chances. Look at the morning. Every day the morning comes. Doesn't it come every day, the morning? Look, how do we spend the morning? In the mattress, we have a tea, have a coffee, breakfast, sleep another 2 hours, another 1 hour sleep. That's one life, no benefit. No benefit. Every day. Every day. But pray Fajr, yaar, yeah, that's good action. Let's pray Fajr. That same morning is coming with Fajr, coming to Fajr Salah, mashallah. And when he comes to Fajr, the individual, that's to celebrate the morning. We're celebrating the morning. What a great day when a person gets up in the morning, he does dua when he wakes up. You know the dua for waking up in the morning. Beautiful dua. That we say, Allah, I'm millions and millions of times grateful to you, O Allah. This is dua in Arabic. The simple meaning, Allah, millions of times over, I am so grateful to you that you have given to me a new lease of life. You've returned the life to me. He starts with that dua. That life went. That life went. I was deceased. You know when you're sleeping, you know what's happening when you're sleeping? No, we don't know. We're asleep. We're gone. We have no idea that I taste a bit of death. I'll tell you that. I tasted a bit of death. And I can compare. There's no difference between sleep or death. There's no difference. There's no sleep. There's no difference. So brothers, this, doing the dua in the morning when you wake up, Allah, millions of times grateful to you that you have returned my life to me, given a new lease of life, and you haven't caused me to die during my sleep. Allah, I'm millions of times grateful to you. This is a shukr to Allah. And what a great statement that, oh Allah, that how grateful I am to you that you, that in this world and the heavens, that you haven't removed them from their position. If you were to remove the heavens and the earth, no one in the world has the power that they can return these things. You have kept them in their position, the heavens and the earth, the skies and the earth. Look at Allah's glory and status and power. That Allah Ta'ala's reward to us, that Allah gives us life. Allah gives life to every human being and He's grateful for that, the human being. Why Allah? Allah, you give me another opportunity, another day to live so I can wash away my sins. Otherwise Allah, if you had caused me to die, then these sins are in my account, my balance sheet. Then I would have gone into hellfire to wash my sins. And I would have to wash my sins with the hellfire. So Allah, I'm so grateful to you. Allah, millions of times over, millions of times you haven't caused me to die, you give me a new lease of life. In the next day. That's what we should do in the morning. This is a dua. Dua Masura. After that, the human being wakes up in the morning. Then he should get up just the way he's recited dua. Come on, yaar. My friends, let's celebrate this morning that Allah has given to us. Another day. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's show our ruh. That how the ruh will travel through the skies and the heavens. Just like the birds fly in the sky. Then the human being comes to Fajr Salah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. There's no Fajr in the house. There's no Fajr in the shop. Where's Fajr? The place of Fajr, the masjid. That's where Salah is accepted. Remember this point. Oh no, no, I prayed for... Where do you pray? I prayed at home. Or I prayed in another place. That's not Fajr, my brothers. That's not Fajr. That's a waste of time. Waste of time. Salah is only one place you can pray Salah. That's the masjid. The house of Allah, where you prostrate. That's the masjid. That's where Allah Ta'ala says, bring your ruh, your soul, your spirit, pray Fajr there. So he comes, his ruh drags him to the masjid physically. So he comes. Subhanallah. So this is celebrating. What are we doing? We're celebrating the morning that Allah has given us an extra day in our life. Ask a man who's dying, ask the person who's dying. He will tell you, she will tell you, yaar, if only I had done nafal salah or done good worship. The person who's dying is regretting. If he had the power to speak, if Allah had given someone dying a power to speak, he'd be regretting. You'd hear him regretting. Yaar, if only I had sat in another gathering and wiped away my sins. I've seen many people like this. Hazrat sahab, I'm about to pass away. Inshallah, I've made a firm intention now. I've heard the words from a dying person. Hazrat sahab, mashallah, you'll see now if Allah gives me life, I won't leave one gathering of dhikr. I will just stay every day in the khanqah. That's it, Hazrat Sahab. Let me get out of this hospital. And I've realized now, I've learnt. But when was he to leave? Allah Ta'ala didn't know. Mind you, you're saying this, my brother, but your decision has been made. Life's come to an end. Oh, people invited you, come, but you never came. You were in your factory all day long. Yes, Hazrat Sahab, I remember when we went to Medina, we used to sit under the umbrellas. And I like that place. I want to go and sit there again. And the Jamaat used to sit there. Even now I'd like to go there. Just do dua for me. I'll try my best after if I get well. Where you used to sit, I'll sit there. When you go there, I'll sit there. That person intends. But that's a dream. The time has gone. Just desires are remaining. That's it. So this is what happens? That we have desires that are left and nothing else. So what's the case now? So Allah gives us the morning, a new day, we're grateful to Allah, a new lease of life. We want to celebrate this new day. Celebrate. So celebrating the new day, we have to celebrate nicely, commemorate Allah, you've given us great day. Not, oh, let's switch on the computer, go to work. All of these things minus either deen or dunya, you have to make a decision. Deen or dunya. We have to celebrate our deen, Islamic way of life. How? The way Allah wants us to celebrate. That's how we celebrate. Remember this. Don't celebrate, oh, let's do this now, let's go there now, or let's do this worship, etc. No. No nafil optional. Allah says, beware if you don't pray fajr. Allah says, no nafil before fajr. Whoever does sajda, Allah says, this is my qurb. But stop the nafil. Allah says, only one thing I want. Say subhanallah. Allah sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah says, that's all I want. The whole universe, every atom, every creature, every insect is doing the same action. Allah says, I want everything you stop. Everything is mine. The creatures, the universe, the world, and you are mine as well. My sajda is mine, salah is mine, tahajjud is mine, Quran. Allah says, I don't want you to do any nafil worship at this moment in time in the morning. I don't like this. What I like, you need to do. I am your malik. I am your owner. I am the controller. If you say, no, Allah, I'll do this in the morning, nafil salah, fast, I'll do this action, that action. What fool? Is this not foolishness? Tell me. Is this not foolishness? Allah says, Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. Everything in the heavens and the earth and the skies and the universe, everything is in my control. I've created it. Subhana lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Every single atom, every cell, every leaf, everything is remembering Allah. Allah says, by this time I don't like any action except what? You are sat, your head is bowed, and you're doing my dhikr. You are remembering me at that time. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Straightforward. The friends of Allah took hold of this action. The Sahaba Ikram took hold of this action. The noble companions, the Holy Prophet himself did this action. That my Rabb loves this action in the morning. When they saw this, they understood that Rasulullah is saying this, that most definitely Allah likes this Sahaba. So as Ali started this, Abu Bakr started this, Uthman started this, Talha started this, Tabin, Tabatabin, Awliya Allah, pious predecessors, Salaf, everyone started this action. That this time in the morning after Fajr Salah, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mulana Zakari Sabram, every pious elder did this action. In the morning after Fajr, don't do anything. Just doing one action after Salatul Fajr. Praise Allah, remember Allah, nothing else. Isn't this the case? So what's this in reality? This is you are celebrating the life I've given you again in the morning. Celebration of that iman. Allah says, I'm giving you another morning with the iman. Whoever does this action, most definitely he's grateful to Allah. And on that gratefulness, Allah says, what reward am I giving you? You're here, but the most blessed place, the place of ashiks, the ibadah of the ashikin, say subhanallah. This is you're sitting here, but you are beloved at that time. This is you are my beloved at that time when you leave the dunya, the world, and you're doing my dhikr after fajr. So Allah says, give you a reward of my beloveds, that the reward I give to my beloveds. That ibadah that nobody can compare to. Allah says, sometimes when you go to do the ibadah, you have to take your clothes off, wear another libas, you have to do tawaf, you have to run around, safa marwa. This is running around in love with Allah. A person who's a haji. Yes, if you see someone on hajj, he's running here, he has to go to this place, then he sits here, then he comes to the masjid, then he leaves the masjid. People say he's a madman. So someone says, if you see the people who are crazy in love with Allah, then look at the hajjis. Subhanallah. The hajjis. Do hajj, and you learn. Even the angels say, Allah, look at these people there. They're running to this mountain, they're doing tawaf, they're drinking water, so much water that their stomach fills up. What are these people doing? Sometimes they take their clothes off, sometimes they wear ihram, sometimes they take their shoes off, sometimes they go in another place and they run, then they start counting the pebbles and they throw the pebbles. What are these people doing? Allah, the angels ask. Allah says, this is the love for me, that whatever I say, they blindly follow. They're blindfold. That maybe we'll attain Allah's nene. Maybe we'll get Allah's nene. Maybe by drinking zamzam I will be happy. Maybe from tawaf I'll be happy. Subhanallah, with every action the haji is seeking the love of Allah. Hey Allah, let me do this. Let me pass through here. Let me go to this destination. Let me go to this location. Come to this street. Go to this street. In the night stay here. Ask a lover. For example, the people who are in the dunya, people who have love for each other, men and women. Here for example, people run after the person that they love with, in love with. in the dunya, with no principles, no rules. But when the people of the dunya find out, they beat those people who are running after the person they love with. But the beloved still runs after the attraction. Allah Ta'ala says, but the person who loves me, look at his situation. Yes, subhanAllah. The person who spends the time in the ibadah of Allah, he has the niyyah, the intention that I want to remember Allah. This is being in love with Allah. So those who love Allah, Allah Ta'ala shows the scene in Hajj. Now look at these people, those who love me, they've come here, they've sat down, they pray Salah, go home. They said that we don't want to go home. The beloveds, after Fajr, they say, Allah, we want to sit down and remember you. Everyone else has gone home, then why you sat here? Mad people, for 1 hour, what will you do? Allah, our heart feels that we will sit and keep on remembering you. But you have to go to work, you're sleepy, you have to do other actions. Allah Ta'ala, please, we want to stay here in the masjid and remember you. Allah, we feel like doing dhikr. I say, okay, leave these people. They're in love with me. They're crazy. The whole of the world, other people have left, but they sat after salah. What reward does Allah give? Allah says, the reward I will give to them for their crazy love for me. SubhanAllah, Allah give them. What is the reward? One hajj and one umrah accepted. That is the reward Allah Ta'ala gives to the dhakireen after Fajr Salah. That's why I've understood this today, that why is Allah giving the reward of Hajj and Umrah for the dhikr after Fajr? Today I've understood this point. That for example, we do dhikr up to Ishraq. Why? For example, we do dhikr after Isha. Why is there no reward of Hajj and Umrah then? Why not in the afternoon? Why not on Thursday night? Why is it in the morning? Because the morning is a person when he's crazy in love with Allah. He's fully in love with Allah. Only the ashiks, the lovers of Allah come at that time. Early morning. The ashiks, only they come in the morning time. They come, they don't leave the masjid until they don't remember Allah as much as they can. When the angels shove them out of the masjid, that's when they leave, after Ishraq time. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, wait. Then let me give the reward. One Hajj and one Umrah accepted. Not have you don't have to have a passport, no ticket, no visa. You don't have to go on Hajj. Allah says, they're my beloveds, and this is how I'll give them the reward. Allah says that in the hereafter, on the day of resurrection, you'll see the reward. And when they go Jannah, the angels say, where are you going? How comes you're going? Your hisab, your reckoning. How comes you've bypassed all that and you've just come? They say, we are without hisab. Without hisab. You're without hisab, say the angels. There's the line, lengthy line on the day of judgment. People give their accounts. How comes you've been let off? The angels ask, where's your hisab? Where's your book of deeds? Where's your certificate of Jannah? They say, forget the angels. Allah said, go into Jannah. How can you be people without hisab? You're going to Jannah. What did you do? They'll say, the dhakirin, that we are those people that in the morning we stayed in the masjid, remember Allah, every day, morning and evening. Every day. Angels say, mashallah. Then they'll salute you. Nobody can stop you. Go, go. The hoors are waiting for you. The maidens, your wives in Jannah. SubhanAllah. They gave their life that they won't be stopped in their graves. They won't be stopped on the day of resurrection, not on the bridge of Sarab. That you are the lovers of Allah. Go, go, the lovers of Allah. Go into Jannah. Who can stop you? That will be the good news they'll hear on that day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Will you do dhikr inshallah in your lives? This is not story, Jack and Ori, I'm telling you. I'm telling you the benefits of dhikrullah. Allah's remembrance. You don't leave empty handed when you do dhikr in the morning. The taste of dhikr in the morning is different. Afternoon dhikr different. Evening dhikr different. Thursday night different. Friday different. Today you will go with different rewards. Different benefits. But we are those people that we are not tired of taking from Allah. We were born for taking from Allah. Morning dhikr, evening dhikr. The person who says, oh, I'll only come in the morning. What's the point of coming in the evening? No. He's the most foolish. If you've taken the taste in the morning, oh, let me take, then why, have you ever said, okay, I'll take breakfast, I won't eat lunch or dinner? For example, you have a guest, I've given you breakfast in the morning. Oh, guest, I'm not going to give you afternoon meal or evening. You say, eh? You're not going to feed me? You'll say, oh, if I give you lunch, that's it. I'm not going to give you dinner, anything. Have you ever said that to your guest? No. Have you ever said that to yourself? So if you've done dhikr in the morning, Hajj and Umrah, but what about the afternoon? Why should we leave that? Why should we leave after Asr? Why should we leave after Maghrib? And then after Isha, why should we leave it? The dhikr of Allah. If you've got life, strength, Allah has given you life, keep on doing the actions. Don't be lazy from the remembrance of Allah. Don't be ghafil. So brothers, will you do dhikr in your lives? Yes. This is not a speech, I'm not a lecture, straightforward discussion I'm having. Straightforward discussion. That so beneficial is the dhikr in the morning. And the lovers of Allah run to the dhikr in the morning. So what was I saying earlier? Iman, faith, yes. Belief is such a thing. Look, that however much you can build on top of your iman, buildings, high buildings, but some people have iman so weak and small, he doesn't even know what is haram, what is halal, what is salah, where's the masjid. He doesn't even see the masjid from far away. Even those people have iman, but they have iman. But they are so small and weak. Maybe you've seen a masjid. Oh, this masjid. Oh, it's very nice masjid on the outside. He says, that he's never gone inside. Sometimes he thinks, okay, let me go Jummah inshallah and see inside the masjid what it looks like. Even that is iman. So there are people on Jummah. So some people never go to the masjid. Some people go Jummah. They go a bit higher. Then there's people like us who come to the masjid to pray broken down salah, feeble salah. Sometimes we stay in the masjid, read Quran. There's iman. And then there's everyone, different scales of iman. Different levels of iman. Even he's a man. That person said, I don't want to pray. I don't even know where the masjid is. Then the next person who looks at the masjid from the outside, next person goes Jummah. Anyone who has kalima in their heart has iman. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. But there are levels of iman. Everyone has a different level. So even he has iman, subhanallah, who does siyam, qiyam in the morning, qiyam in the evening, qiyam, stay awake in the night, pray tahajjud, do tasbihat, they praise Allah, glorify Allah, they love doing ibadah. Even they have, even he is what? He is a mu'min. He has belief. So there's a difference here. What's the difference? There are higher people than that. Who Allah gives the rajat, the ghawth, the kutab, the mujaddad, the revivers, the abdal, the taqiyah. Even they have iman. Different levels. So what's the basic principle? The common denominator? Iman. Everyone has iman, faith. But you build upon that. So everyone has different levels. We see. But. Everyone has an interest in one thing. Say Subhanallah. Every mu'min. So now I'm giving you a special point. Listen attentively, my brothers who do dhikr. Listen carefully to the next statement. Everyone has one interest. Everyone, even the lowest level of iman, if somebody has, if he says, where's the masjid, what's namaz, what's halal, haram, even he, and the highest level, qutab, ghaus, take both of them. Everyone has one desire. Common denominator, everyone's the same on that desire. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Even he has that, the lowest Muslim has that desire, the highest Muslim has that desire, everyone has that desire. Doesn't matter how weak he is, how feeble he is, or how much iman he has, strongest iman. Everyone has the same one desire, their level is the same on that. Everyone is present on the level, even the minor, even the major, even the elder, even the higher, the pious. We realize that's the greatest desire. The greatest desire. What is that desire? The person who doesn't pray salah, he has the desire. The highest level Muslim has that desire. What is that desire? Shall I tell you? Aha, Subhanallah. Love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Muslim has the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ishq-e Rasul. Is this not the case, I ask you? Even the weakest Muslim who doesn't know what is haram halal, ask him what is love of Rasulullah. If you say about the Prophet some negative, he'll slap you on the face. Will he not? Will he not? Every Muslim has the desire. Ask him. He will be ashamed of his iman. But even the highest level to the lowest level, they have one desire. That somehow, can I see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Can I have the dream of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Can somehow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam be happy with me? Doesn't every Muslim have this desire? Everyone has this desire. A few days ago, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala allowed me to recite a Naat and Nasheed. SubhanAllah. Some verse in there was a couplet, a verse in that Nasheed. What was that? I want to arrive to Medina. Yes. So that verse, I can remember, is even my own writing. My own verses that I wrote. Nasheed. My meaning of that was that by even when I arrived to the Holy Prophet's Rawda, I want to present my salam. Allah, make my destiny such that I can arrive there. This was the couplet, wasn't it? The verse. Yes, the great verse, the great couplet. Allah, I feel in my heart that I arrive to the Rawda and I stand in front of the holy fence, the Jali, and do salam to the Prophet. Allah, put this into my destiny. So somebody gave me that suggestion, and it was a sister, mashallah, she's a good ashik. And from that, then she said, Hazrat, mashallah, what a great recitation. That, subhanallah, that for every Muslim's desire you've put into the words, subhanallah. So do you understand what I'm saying? That she said that every Muslim has this desire to arrive there to the Rawda Mubarak, to the blessed grave, and to present the salam. That subhanallah, every Muslim's desire you have translated into these words, subhanallah. So this is the reality that every mu'min desires this, that I want to do ziyarah of Rasulullah, arrive to the Rawda. In the sinner, he doesn't say from his mouth. But if you ask him, brother, do you want to do ziyarah of the Prophet? He'll cry. And he'll say, yes. Because Rasulullah Azam is rahmatul lil alameen, is the mercy to mankind, to the universe. And he allows that person to carry out the action. So one desire, everyone's on the same platform. Every mu'min. But we have this desire. We have this desire, and every mu'min has this desire. But who arrives to this reality of this desire? Only he who has the love for Rasulullah, that he can start to do ziyarah of Rasulullah, that Rasulullah invites us to his presence, and we go to his blessed rawdah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is such a great desire we have, Allah has created this desire within us. We have this, that we want to do this. So has Allah not prepared for us to achieve this? Has Allah not prepared that every mu'min who has iman, he can fulfill his desire for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah has created the route for this, the method for this, the manner for this. Allah has given us a solution that we can achieve this level. But we are those who just have the desire, but we don't go beyond that. We don't practice beyond that to get the reality. I have a desire in the morning, I want a paratha for breakfast. There's no flour at home, there's no butter at home. And I have a desire, and I sleep, then will I get the paratha in the morning when I wake up? No. If I say, wife, can I have a paratha? She said, what paratha? If you had the desire, then you should have bought the flour home. When you went shopping, you should have bought the butter home. You should have got the ingredients to make the paratha. If you brought them in the morning, if you'd asked me, I'd have made the paratha for you. Where will the paratha come from now? She says. So I had the desire, but I didn't create the means, fulfill the means. Allah says, don't have just the desire. Allah says, I'll tell you the amal, the action. When you do the action, your desire immediately will be accepted. Immediately. So this is the wazifa, Hazrat Sahab. Tell us the method that we can get didar, the dream of the Prophet. Tell us such a nafal. Everyone will ask this, and people will have done those actions. Allah, why doesn't he give to us? Whoever wants to do this action, Allah Ta'ala has made the universe for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah decorated the universe for Rasulullah. He created us in his ummah. So Allah has not given us the amal, the deed that we can reach to his name sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. Of course. So why don't we ask Allah directly that he can open the doors for us? Tell me. Why don't we ask Allah for assistance? Allah, we have a desire to be close to Rasulullah. Allah says, every night I can fulfill this desire of you to be close to Rasulullah. And this happens. Hazrat Suyuti said, rahmatullahi, that I didn't consider I had iman until I did ziyarah. Always I had ziyarah. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi said, I always did ziyarah. Every moment, such 70 times I would do ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, that with Musafa, I would ask questions, that I would see guidance. And we are running around, Hazir, Nazir, is he there, is he present? Such foolish debates we have today about the Prophet. But why don't we get to that level where Allah Ta'ala opens up the door so we can see for ourselves that we have the nearness of Rasulullah? No, we don't want to practice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I saying right or am I wrong? Is it coming into your hearts what I'm saying? Do you understand? We don't want to do actions, but there are thousands of sects today. Thousands of arguments, debates and opinions, and we say kufr to people and fatwas, but we don't want to do the actions through which Allah opens all the doors and the routes. That Allah says you will become such a person that you will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, Allah has made us for this reason. Allah has given us a formation, our heart and our organs, our body, our limbs, for one reason, that you should practice and do those amal for one purpose, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. Yes, Allah says you have one maqsad, that you should keep yourself alive and refreshed with the muamalat, with the practice, with the deeds, that you can see him and he can see you. Subhanallah. So how many people are like this? We have desires, we run away around in the dunya. But Allah Ta'ala says, from the minor level of a mu'min to the highest level of the mu'min, everyone has this desire to have the connection, the nearness to the Prophet ﷺ. But why don't we practice? So there was a tabi, it was the generation of the tabi'in. And I'll share with you this event. So mashallah, he had a unique sort of temperament. A tabi, the Sahaba were those who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with iman. How long? 10 years? 2 years? Not even for a second. Even if it was for a second, a person saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the company he had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the company, the nur he would have absorbed. That for 1 second, if a human being saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with iman, he is the best human being compared to the rest of humanity. Imagine Bilal radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that they were those, the Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was the highest level sahaba. Who was that person? Who was the person who took all of the rubuts that Allah Ta'ala in the heavens confirmed that he's Sadiq, Masduq, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is the highest grade Sahabi. Allah Ta'ala gave him the taraja, the status that you are counting, that he is second or he is third or he is not this, he is not that. The differentiating between the companions. Allah says, what do you know? That who are you to tell and differentiate from amongst the Sahaba? Allah Ta'ala selected the Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And how did Allah select him? That all of the Sahaba, he was higher than all of them. The amount of times he saw the Prophet from near, from far, nobody could reach to his count. Nobody. Abu Bakr Siddiq, imagine how close he was to Rasulullah, that on his legs, the blessed head of the Prophet, and all night long in the cave, the blessed face of Rasulullah, and the eyes of Siddiq, imagine the scene. Imagine the scene. Imagine his rank. Imagine his sobat. Imagine his company. Any human being can compare to him. So his hal, that any human being who saw the Prophet with Iman for 1 second, he's a Sahabi. And if after, only that person who the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he had the company, Rasulullah ﷺ, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was the companion in the cave, and always he was near to the Prophet ﷺ, say Subhanallah. Yes? So at that time, even on the day of judgment, he will not be detached from the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Imagine his rank, because he saw the Prophet ﷺ most of all. And the Sahabi who just for a second sees the Prophet becomes a Sahabi, and he's got the highest maqam, but look at Abu Bakr Siddiq then compared to them. So, going back, there was the Sahabi is he, the companion who sees the Prophet with Iman. So much current he has, that the next generation who sees the Sahaba, he becomes a Tabi. Even he has a high level. Then the next generation was the Taba Tabi'een, those who saw the Tabi'een. And the person who follows the Taba Tabi'een, they are the Ghaus and the Kutub. That same Noor is transferred onwards. The same Noor of looking at the generation before them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It takes us back to the Holy Prophet. Am I saying what I'm saying correct today? Do you understand what I'm saying? Shall I continue? Okay, fine. MashaAllah. So brothers, look what a great thing we're learning today. So the Sahaba, after him, the next generation was the Tabi'in. So there was a Tabi. MashaAllah, every Sahabi, every Tabi, they had their style, their method. So this Tabi, what he like, just like the Naqshbandi Silsila, because Abu Bakr Siddiq, the Naqshbandi Silsila goes back to Abu Bakr Siddiq. He had this desire, be on my own, I'd like to be in isolation, seclusion, just me and my yar, Rasulullah and nobody else. This is what the Ashik desires as well at the same time. The Ashik and the Mashuk, they love, the two people who love each other, they don't prefer the third person, even if they don't talking to each other, they don't want a third person to interfere in the love. No disturbance. Even the teacher and the student, when there's, and especially those who are married new, they have this desire. They don't want the third person, oh, the sister-in-law's coming, or the brother-in-law's coming, or the relative's coming. No, we don't want anybody to interfere. Just newly married. So when you have two who are beloved, they don't want the third party to interfere. Yes? Same way the Sahaba Akram, how they love the Prophet ﷺ. They want to connect with Naqshbandi, they have the same desire. The student, the one who is the beloved of Allah, our silsila is based on this. Every student always wants that. I want to keep remembering Allah. My eyes are closed, my lips are stopped. Allah, I'm here and I'm remembering you. Allah says, Subhanallah, we're just sat. Subhanallah. Even the teacher, the student, near each other, but they are remembering Allah. They sat together, their hearts are attached and the nur is coming. And Subhanallah, there's a pure passion. But Subhanallah, that person cannot see. I'm not speaking to you. Allah Ta'ala says, you are near to me at that time. So you get this through the Naqshbandi silsila and tariqah, and this is called maraqaba. When a student sits and concentrates on that, Allah says, give yourself to me. Gives you to me. And qaf, that just like as you are in the grave, you are silent maraqaba. Subhanallah. And that is the highest maqam in maraqaba that the person attains. He doesn't scream out, he doesn't say anything loudly, he's not reciting loudly. No, Hazrat Sadiq radiallahu anhu, the maqam, that's the maqam in maraqaba. Give yourself, Allah says, mar, just like qaf silently in the grave. This one, how much you shout out, your mouth's closed, your breath, you hold everything, you don't say anything loudly, silently you are focusing on Allah and remembering Allah. Maraqaba. Do maraqaba as much as you can. Our people, the students, the kalamat we recite, mashallah, they're great kalamat, the verses we recite, khatam, khwajgan, the litany of the verses, the repetition verses, we recite this. But Hazrat Sahib gave me the hukam, order, that before khafi zikr, definitely do khatam khwajgam, where you recite the verses and the duas. I didn't used to recite before when this hukum came, when Allah Hazrat Sahib instructed, then I started khatam khwajgam, the verses. So we are the servants who follow the instruction. Whenever he told me, if he said stop, you stop. If you walk, he said walk. That's the work of the ghulam, the servant. Say subhanallah. So my teacher instructed me. Before I didn't recite Khatam Khwajgan loudly, Khatam Khwajgan, the verses before we do Maraqba, that the same way that, for example, individually when you are given the dhikr from the sheikh, you're not told individually, if I told you to recite Khatam Khwajgan, the person who does Khatam Khwajgan himself, man or woman, brother or sister, he's doing wrong. It's not for you individually, you won't get no progression. Progression is through Maraqba, the silent dhikr. The silent dhikr. Whenever the Sheikh's majlis ends, then you shouldn't keep on reciting Khatam Khwajgan. Then you should be immersed and absorbed in dhikr khafi, silent khafi. That's your dhikr individually. That's a very important point you need to understand. The dhikr you individually have been instructed to do, when you have the sohbat with the Sheikh, when you're in the company of the teacher, Allah knows best, he knows best. When you're in his company and he's reciting the verses Khatam Khwajgan, then you follow him. But when the majlis ends and you're free and you're on your own, you're not in the majlis, then you have no link with the Khatam Khwajgan. Now your connection is with your heart and maraqaba, silence. Allah says, sit wherever you are, then just like a chicken, just sit down, silent. 10,000, 5,000, 3, you're in a marriage, in a conference, in a wedding, you're on your own. Allah says, be silent. Wherever you are, they'll think you're tired and he's sleeping, he's dozed off, but they don't understand. People think that when you're closing your eyes and you're doing maraqba, think, oh, he's tired, he just sleeps all the time. But what does that person know? Are you sleeping or am I sleeping at that time? Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is value. This everything you will attain through khafi dhikr, silent dhikr, the asbaq, the lessons give to you, not through khatam khwajgan. Not through Khatam Khwajgan. Khatam Khwajgan is a gift that he gives to you when you're in the gathering to revive your ruh, your soul, when you're in his company. That's it. At the time when you're in the company of the teacher in the majlis, only then you can do Khatam Khwajgan. That's the time when you can recite those verses. After, it's gone, disappeared. So all the remainder time of your life, not that you get the tasbih and start khatam khwajgan, recite the verses. People have that desire. Oh, I like this. But your progression and advancement and getting near to Allah is on your lataif, the lessons that your teacher has given you. Pay attention to them, the sabahs you've been given, and close your eyes and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue. Whether you're walking, sitting, wherever you are, you will progress and you'll go high in the status. What do people say here? They think, oh, just khatam khwajgan. I don't feel like doing maraqaba. I don't know if I'm doing dhikr, my heart's connected to Allah. I try, but I don't feel. I don't do this at all. Don't do this at all. That make your life maqsad, objective to do maraqaba. Allah Ta'ala will show you the benefits. Don't be lazy. Don't be negligent at all. Remember this. That's why it's told to you, the women folk, I say, and the men folk, I say, maraqaba, silent dhikr. You're given the quantity, the amount, how much you should do, and you should fulfill that. So, coming back to the example of the tabi'in. This tabi, the second generation believer, he had a desire of silence, seclusion. He would go into seclusion and do ibadah and worship. Everything he did was according to the sunnah, and he went to near a cave. He made his sort of quarters there, and he stayed there near a cave, and he used to be a shepherd. He used to herd the goats during the day, and mashallah, near the bank of the river, and he'd do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, and just had a straw mat, and that was his place, his abode. So obviously, when a person does this and a person becomes famous, spiritually becomes famous and aware, people are aware of him. So even if a person is a little bit in love with someone in the dunya, people find out around him, oh, he's in love with this person. So when a person's in love with Allah, then everyone in the dunya remembers that person, recognizes him, oh, he's a pious person, let's go to that person, this wali Allah, let's go and meet him, sit in his company. People have a desire, and you should have that desire. People travel to that person because he's pious. So just to see a sheikh, a wali Allah, then internally you are refining yourself, improving yourself, cleaning yourself. This is not a minor action to travel to do ziyarah of wali Allah. I tell you now, on the day of judgment you'll find out. You know, people say, oh, he's traveling. What's he going there for? When a person's getting a lot, for example, when you get something at home, free of charge, not struggling for it, you don't have appreciation for it. But on the day of judgment, you will realize, people see that, who are these people who have high status? Allah says, you didn't realize in the world he was living amongst you. If only you had seen him then you'd be standing with him on the day of judgment, that person. So travel to meet the pious people. Why? Allah said, I promise that whoever you love in the world, Allah says, I'll attach you with that person on the day of judgment. Is this not the case? Is this not the case? Allah says, Ma'al muhsineen, you will be with those who you love. So if you didn't love the pious people in the world, good people, faithful people, you didn't travel, you said, I don't know this person, who is he? I don't want to go, he came last time in Ramadan, he's come again in Ramadan, or he keeps on coming and going. I don't know, he just lives there nearby, we don't need to go and see him, he's near to us. Subhanallah. The more you want to see a pious person, the more you go after that person, just like you like a dish. The more you like that dish, you subhanAllah, keep on, let me eat this today. If you go to a wedding and you have a dish there that you like the food, you'll eat that dish time and time. You don't just eat it, you will smother that dish. Oh, today, I don't know if I'm going to get that chicken today. I love this dish. Let me eat this as much as I can. I don't know if I'm going to get it again after this day today. So when a person gets the ziyarah of a wali Allah, then keep sitting there. Keep benefiting from his ziyarah, from his connection. I don't know if tomorrow I'm going to live. Let me take the benefit today. Subhanallah. What a beautiful points I'm sharing with you today. Beautiful points. That we don't know if tomorrow I'm going to get the life again. So when I can tell you many events of people that, for example, I met my sheikh yesterday and the next day he didn't meet his sheikh. So if he thought, though, yaar, I'm sitting here and I'll look at my sheikh as much as I can tell you my taste. When I was with my sheikh, my day would not be full until I sat there all day long. So when my father would run out in the streets looking for me, where's my son? He's come after years, where's he just been? I would hide away and go and see the ziyarah of my sheikh. I was hungry, still I'd run after Hazrat. Hazrat used to smile when he saw me. So what did he do with love? He increased his time of sitting there. Yeah, and people say that, subhanAllah, Hazrat Sahib, why has he increased this time of the majlis and sitting there? He never used to sit there that long. Why? Because when you love someone, you get the reply of love from that person. Say, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. If you love somebody, then definitely the reply of that love will come. It cannot be. This is Allah's principle. Allah's principle has made it. The reply of your love will come immediately. Subhanallah. So that ta'abi, the second generation, he was in seclusion, isolation. We call khalwat the person who's, for example, doing ibadah in isolation, but he is in high level of maqam. He was on a straw mat in the wilderness, his goats, in remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah. So he had a desire of ziyarah, let me go and do a ziyarah of a wali Allah. He would travel from far, he heard. That those people who have value and appreciate the pious, he said, where have you come from far? For example, you come from Pakistan, Karachi. And once I went to Karachi, I came off the, so when I was sat in the Khanka, after Isha, the old Khanka, and at first I was like, these two people, where have they come from? I said that they look like travelers. I was sat in the Khanka, the old Khanka. They came inside, new people, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. And I was afraid, because I was sat on my own, and these were strangers, I didn't know them, I was in the khanka. I said that these people, I've seen them first time in Malif, where you come from? They look like travelers, musafir. Soon as they came, are you Hazrat Sahab? They asked me. I said, who are you? I don't know who these people are. I said, I'm not Hazrat, but who are you people? They said, yes, we have come to meet Hazrat Sahab. I said, where have you come? They said, we've just come off the plane. We came from Pakistan. Direct. Subhanallah. I said, why? I said, I heard from here, someone there, he's an officer in Karachi, they told us that meet you, he praised you, and we came to meet you. That's it, we just come for this reason. I said, subhanallah, I'm so happy that this is my good fortune that you've come to travel to meet me. So people arrive when they hear about something good. People like me, empty box, wouldn't do anything. But the real will of Allah, his fragrance travels far and wide. That I had a nisbat is due to my nisbat with Hazrat Sahib, that I have no quality inside me. Say subhanAllah. I have no special quality in my, sometimes there's no quality in the matches if you have them in the pocket. But sometimes you know when you rub the matches on the box, then the spark will come. SubhanAllah. So that's what we're like. We're like the matches in the box. We know that we've sat with the Wali Allah. And subhanAllah, when you rub it, then the spark will come, subhanAllah, because of the ijazah. So when there's praise, it's the praise of the Shaykh who's given the ijazah, mashallah. The mission. Look at the example I've given you, subhanAllah. So we are like matches in the box. Yes, we have no special quality. The ijazah from above. Subhanallah, such a nur that whenever you, subhanAllah, rub with that person with his company, then the spark will come, subhanAllah. So they said, the Tabi said, Hazrat, I've come to do your ziyarah. Somebody came from far. He said, you've come for my ziyarah? The Tabi said, okay, but you're disturbing me. You've come to sit my company. He said, I was doing nafl, prayer, worship. He said that I know that somebody asked, I asked somebody and he told me that Hazrat Databi doesn't like when you go and meet him. He's busy, he's occupied in worship, he'll be upset. So I thought that Wali Allah, he's only upset for a few moments, but then after that, he's happy. So don't be worried about his being upset, because after that he becomes happy. So don't worry about his anger. Whatever you want him to do for you or pray for you, doesn't matter how angry he is, but after a while he'll become soft and tender hearted and you can go on, he'll come onto your side. MashaAllah. He said, yes, what is it you like? He said, he saw that from far. What's going on here? That person like me, he was simple like me, that his goats, he saw his goats that they were eating the grass, and who was protecting them? The wolves. He said, maybe I'm making a mistake. And he rubbed his eyes. He looked at the goats and the wolves. They're near each other. And he asked the Tabi. He was surprised. He said, why are you surprised? He said, hey, the wolves normally, they devour the goats and the sheep. So here, how comes they've made up with each other? And they're living amongst each other. He gave a beautiful answer. In one statement, he gave the answer, the Tabi. He said that they made up with each other. At that time, that the Malik of the goat, in other words, the shepherd, when he made a connection with Allah, then his goats and the wolves, then they made up with each other and there was no differences between them. SubhanAllah, they made up for the sake of Allah. So I do not disobey Allah. Whatever Allah Ta'ala desires, I did those actions. I didn't commit the sins. Do you understand the point here? Yes. That don't have desires of just the nearest to Rusum. Understand this gathering. What is the amal? You've come here for action today. We come here for action. We don't come here to listen. There are three stages. There are three stages that this humble servant understands. One is speaking. Okay, keep on talking, keep on talking, keep on listening. Next stage is listening. And that's the step number two. Step number one is talking. Step number two is listening. Okay, keep on listening. But the real stage is stage three of amal, of practice. Practicing. The person who has done step number three, he is in Dabad. He is alive forever, that mu'min. So we are haris, we are greedy, we should depart the gathering with stage number three. Practice someone speaking, okay, and then we're listening. And stage number three, if we don't do that, if we don't practice, then we've wasted step one and two. You'll forget. Shaitan will make you forget. You heard the hadith, you'll say, ah, wah. But after that, he'll make you forget the hadith. So you'll waste that gathering. Your listening will be a waste. So listening, speaking and listening, but when you practice, then the first two also will become treasure for you. You get reward for that. So that's why it's lazim, when you come to this gathering, that when you listen, don't just keep it to that, but you should come with intention of amal to the gathering. I will listen to the bayan, and I'll practice. But the person who has no intention to practice, he is extreme coward. Rasulullah sought refuge from cowardice. Allah, give me protection from cowardice. He is the coward. He doesn't have the bravery, courage, that even after hearing something very good, he doesn't practice on it. He doesn't keep the beard. He doesn't pray salah. He doesn't pray salah in congregation. He doesn't come to dhikr in the morning. Because he is the most extreme coward who will rise on the day of judgment. That he comes to the bayan, he listens to the words, and he's given the message, and he's made to understand, and he is so cowardly that he didn't have the intention to practice. He is the coward, that person. He is the extreme coward who cannot control his nafs and desires. He'll give up his life for everything in the world, but he doesn't give up his nafs for practice. That's why I stated, that's why Rasulullah sought refuge of the worst disease of cowardice. The most extreme coward is he who learns about good things and hears, and he's afraid, no, it's too hard, how will I practice this? And he rejects the ilm that he learns. He rejects inwardly. He just, I'm good enough that I've just arrived to that bayan. There's no benefit in that. He's wasted that example. He's wasted opportunity. You give money to someone, he counts the money, then he throws it in the drain. He doesn't buy a house, he doesn't buy a car, he doesn't buy a watch, he doesn't spend it. What you will say? He's a wasteful person. Same way, speaking, listening, step number three, amal, then he's attained both step one and two. SubhanAllah. So what was I saying? What was the amal? What did the Tabi say? The Tabi said, the reason why you see this scene of peace and bliss around me is the sheep and the wolf made up at that time when I made up with my Rabb. So what do we learn from this? Rabbul Qainat Allah, kulli shayin qadir. Have we ever thought, who is qadir? Who is qadir? Allah says, all power is in my control. No one's anybody's enemy. Nobody can kill somebody. Nobody can give any loss to anybody. The animal cannot devour the human. No serpent can attack you or bite you. Nobody can harm anyone else. Because who has power and control? The snake doesn't have the power to bite. The lion doesn't have the power to devour. You have no the power to give lost only one. Your enemy cannot overcome you. No sickness can destroy you. Nothing can spoil anything else. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah says you do die. But when you understand who is Qadir? Who is Qadir? Do you understand? The Allah Ta'ala says who is Qadir? Who has the power? Ultimate. So if you have a connection with Qadir, if you accept Allah, you are Qadir, then why are you afraid in your life of other things? This is what you're afraid for. Tell me. What are you afraid of? So this is what Allah Ta'ala says. That Allah is Qudrat. He has the power. He has the control. So the Tabi said, when I made up with Allah, when I connected with Allah, then everything, all the love and the passion came. Now, this is all due to the love and the connection with Allah. That when I'm connected with Allah, doesn't matter if they're enemies of me, but they will start to love that person. You will see a wali Allah when you go to his gathering. You will see such people there who had enmity, family enmity. But when they have that nisbat with the wali Allah, then their love increases and the enmity disappears. This guarantee I can give to you. This guarantee I can give to you. I have seen with experience people with enmity in their families, but when both family members, relatives, when they have a connection with the wali Allah, subhanallah, yes, one, you have the sweet, and you have the bitter. When you have the water in the sea, in the ocean, and the river, which is sweet, but when it goes and meets at one place, so even in the family, when there's enmity, but when they are murids of one sheikh, and they sit and they have genuine love, and they take his company and become murids, then the enmity between those students ends, disappears. Because everybody, they have one foundation, one fountain, one destination, say subhanAllah. He says that he is loving him, he is love for him, we are both students, we have one common place where we get our hidayah from, then they have love for each other as well that develops, subhanAllah. So the Tabi said, he said that subhanAllah, I've got love for Allah because I've made up with Allah. How? I promise from that day that I will not disobey Allah. That's the message. Allah will not make you upset. I will not make you angry with me. I said, Allah said, if you don't make me upset, then I will not allow you to be upset either in the world, subhanAllah. That is the point we need to understand. He said, "Acha, the person who came to visit him, is this the reason that you have got this status?" Then the person who met him, he said, "Inside my body started to shake." Subhanallah. The person who went to visit Abu, he said, "I had a unique emotion of came here." So in my heart, I made an intention. He said, "If I can get this, if I can get something to eat or drink, but there's nothing here that he can give me to eat. I'm hungry." But he was Sahib Kashf because their hearts are open. Allah Ta'ala has opened up their hearts to reality. So what did he do? Keep on listening to this. A great story I'm sharing with you. So he had a little bit at that point where we're sitting, and subhanAllah, he made the intention that I need to give some provision. When he looked after a while, some milk came out from the earth and he filled the container next to that person who was sitting there, who had that desire. He said, "Drink." He said, "You know you are hungry, so drink this milk." Subhanallah, he said, that milk when I drank, it was so tasty and sweet like honey, that it didn't look like it was the milk from this dunya. Subhanallah. He said, when I drank the milk, when I took the vessel, then he put it down at that same place, then when he looked at it again, then it was filled with honey. Say, subhanallah. That these sound weird things. We say, what sort of weird stuff is this? But when a person has a connection with Allah, then Allah Ta'ala allows those things to drop to him in the world. He sat there, you have a desire. If it would be so good if I had this. But tuck, 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 it arrives to your home, those things. But you don't become a wali Allah because Allah will give you provisions in the world. Just sometimes you have a desire for something in the world. Sometimes you have a desire. Just by chance you have a desire that was impossible to occur, that you couldn't imagine in your life that it would occur, immediately Allah allows it to come because in Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That Allah Ta'ala says, you have come back to me, the master of the universe, so I'll give to you when suddenly you are in requirement, you have a need. Allah says, take it or leave it. The message, the thing does come to you though. The thing does come to you. So he said, subhanAllah, that the honey has come. So this looks weird to us, these weird tales we're saying, but this is what happens. Because Qadir, whoever believes in Allah and His power, for them it is a surprise. Why isn't it happening, Allah, if I want this? This is the yaqeen we should develop. Allah, why isn't it happening? Because mu'jizat, miracles are true. The miracles of the walis of Allah are true. They're not false. That the karamats of the awliya Allah, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, this is one point of aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. It's not dreams and folk tales. Karamat of the awliya Allah are truth. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? Yes, they are haqq. And this is proven from the generations. Proven. If they happen, we believe in the haqq. But they are not preconditions. Not from some magician, from a wali Allah. Because if a magician shows you, then he's utilizing jinnat and jinns and shaitan. But the wali Allah, who is truthful, Allah Ta'ala does give karamat and miracles. There's noor of the karamat in his life. And they are beneficial karamat. They give us learnings. Because the deen and the iman expands and it strengthens. And the levels increase. And shaitaniyat goes far from that person. So a person, for example, if you look at magicians or sinners who are controlling jinnat and shaitans, then that will take you towards hellfire and wrong. But the person who is a wali Allah, who is a true wali Allah, then they have noor within them, and through their karamat, they benefit the masses there. That's the difference between karamat and shaitan. But today we go after magicians. As qiyamah comes close, then it's the idraj and visions and jadu and magic. We see, oh, he's a miracle person. Oh, he's a magician. But the Dajjal, when he comes, he'll do the same. He'll be the supreme magician. That's the biggest fitna. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ recited so many du'as for the fitna of Dajjal that is present today. We consider that person a wali today who showed us magic and supernatural action. Therefore, I show you such a magic today, then half of Bolton will run after me and will knock on my door. Knocking on my door, half of Bolton. Though he blowed on this and this happened. Oh, he was a cancer patient and he made the cancer go away. Half of Bolton will be at my door. Everyone will be there, stood. Oh, he's a wali Allah. But when I call and invite towards dhikr, which is the true noor, everyone runs away. Nobody comes. This is the sign of Dajjal, the age when him. Dajjal will call people and they'll run to him. They'll flock to him. They will reject the sunnah. The reason, no, there's no benefit of sunnah. Oh, yeah, he's the right man. Let's go to Dajjal. He's the wali Allah. He's showing us magic. And Dajjal, they'll start prostrating him. Such that, beware, recognize the man. The true miracle is that karamat which increases your noor and love of sharia and sunnah. Not how he takes jinns out, shaitans out, he gives ta'weez, he's a wali Allah. No, biggest wali Allah is he who makes the dead heart alive. He is the greatest wali Allah. He is the greatest wala. Everything a human being can do, remember this. Everything a human being can do, but nobody has made a dead person alive until today. Tell me about it. Nobody. Can anybody make a dead person alive? No. Nobody. Tell me. The person who's alive and inside his heart is dead, but the teacher makes his heart alive. Tell me, is there any greater miracle in this day and age? And such he makes his heart alive. The Allah testifies that this person is alive now. He's a mu'min. How? Allah Ta'ala says, just like I make the barren earth alive with water, the winds and the clouds, it was dead. That same way the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, he makes the dead heart of a mu'min alive, and not small. He was dead, a sinner. Just like Allah says, I make the earth alive, the flowers grow and the plants grow. And the wali Allah, he puts life into the heart of the mu'min, that he himself will spread the fruits to other Muslims. This is life. This is a great karamat that Allah Ta'ala gives to the wali Allah. That do you get not a new lease of life every day from dhikr of Allah? Are you lataif, not alive? Oh no, this is not a miracle. We do dhikr in the heart, other people do it. Tell us how we can get children and sons. I want my business to flourish and earnings and takings to increase. And then when a wali Allah does dua and this happens, he runs after him, then his iman's gone, his akhirah's gone. If I say today, come to me, I'll get your visa stamped in your passport, your worldly requirements, and give me this much money, and I'll call a jinn, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and magic will occur, and the jinn who's inside people, I'll take them out, and lines of people run after me, and they'll be paying me notes, stacks of notes, paying me for the services. But a person, a wali Allah teaches you that amal, that connect to Allah, ask from Allah directly, make your connection with Allah directly. Nobody goes to that person. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So karamat is haq, miracle is haq. So when that person saw this miracle, he said, Hazrat, to the Tabi, he said, I understand the sheep and the wolf, they're friends with each other, but the cows give milk. How comes this vessel has come out from the ground and the milk has come and the bees give the honey? So how comes the honey's come out of the ground into this container? He requested that Tabi, that pious person, that how comes this honey's come and this milk has come? Subhanallah. He said, do you read Quran? He said, yes, I read Quran. Subhanallah. He said, is it? He said, then what is this? The Quran has said, Istisqa Musa, Allah says in the Quran. Say Subhanallah. That you read the Quran. What is the Quran that you've read? Istisqa Musa liqawmihi. When Allah Ta'ala Musa said, Allah, my qawm, they're thirsty. Allah said, and he said, I'll give us water. So did Allah prepare for some water? Allah said, okay, fine. I'll prepare water. What did Allah Ta'ala say? Allah Ta'ala said, that staff I've given to you, that stick, that strike it on the ground. What's in this stick, we've thought. But Allah Ta'ala put the miracle. Allah says, make the niyyah, and with this stick, every desire of yours, that this is the tongue of the Wali Allah, the intention that he has, the right intention, Allah Ta'ala allows that to come to fruition. So who is the one? Allah is in Allah kulli shayin qadeer. Allah is the one in control power. There was no strength in the staff, the stick. Musa alayhi salam didn't make that occur. Every power and everything that happens, Allah says be and it becomes. So Allah said, go to Pharaoh, wherever you go, that just strike that on the ground. Just strike it on the rock, Allah Ta'ala said. And so when he hits it on the rock, not one, not two, how many? 12 fountains, 12 streams, how many? Who gave that permission? Subhana qawme Musa alayhi salam. Those disobedient people, his tribes, and Allah, Rabbul Alameen, when he struck his stick on the ground and 12 streams came out. The next point I'm giving to you, listen carefully. So this is the same Rabb, Allah, the same Lord, the same God, the same one who looks after us. That the ghulams of Rasulullah, subhanallah, the ghulams of followers of Rasulullah, that from the ground he will take up the honey and the milk for the believers. Subhanallah. So the Tabi said he is the same Rabb. That the disobedient followers of Musa, Allah gave them 12 streams of water. But if they are the followers of Rasulullah, then how can it be that Allah doesn't give the milk and the honey from the ground? He said, do you understand now? He said, I've understood very well. Subhanallah. He said, do you want to drink the milk and the honey? He said, yes, I want to drink. Do dua for me. I'd like to. He said, then you still stuck on the dua? Say, subhanallah. You still stuck on dua? This discussion. You still saying make dua for me? You still don't understand the solution? You still don't understand the method? The Allah Ta'ala has given us the method that this is the solution. That Allah will take out from the rocks for you, the fountains, the streams of milk and honey, everything according to desires you will attain. So didn't I share that waqia with you? Yes, that there was a person in the jungle. Subhanallah. And the lion came. He said, oh, we're finished. The king, he left his kingdoms, everything, and he's passing through the forest and the lion came. He thought, oh, he's going to eat me, he's going to devour me. He was afraid. And Allah is alim, he's aware, he's has knowledge of everything. That is sudur. Allah, he said that for example, Allah announced, who are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of this lion? That subhanAllah, you have the friendship of with him who is the king of everything. Your friendship is with he, Allah, who is the king of the whole universe. So why are you worried about this lion? Why are you afraid of this animal? With this creature? Immediately he understood. The lion continued to come. Then the lion, it bowed down. It submitted. Then Allah Ta'ala announced that, O Adam, that Ibrahim and Adam, since me and you are friends, then 50,000 angels are your protectors. I've assigned them to protect you wherever you are in the world. You are my friend, my dost, because you have made friendship with me. Subhanallah. So the king, he had nothing. But when he had love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my walis, my friends, that look how much time we are wasting today as human beings. Why are we wasting our time? The same solution Allah ta'ala has given to us, that we aren't far. Allah says, you are near to me. So we don't even get the milk in the bottle today when we desire. So where will we get the milk coming out of the ground? Yes, subhanAllah, today the ummah is lost. We are wretched due to our own actions. We are wretched due to our own actions. We are wretched because we've left the amal that the sahabi, the tabi is prescribing to us. The tabi, he said, it's not my achievement, but I adopted the action that I made up with Allah. I did those actions that Allah Ta'ala becomes something. For example, when you're enemy with somebody, you go and you make up, okay, Allah, I accept your condition, you accept my condition. Negotiation. So do negotiation with Allah and make up with Allah and accept Allah's conditions. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. Allah says, I still give you a chance. You still don't understand that the conditions Allah has put down, you should accept them. He says, yes, I've understood them. That man said, we went to visit. He said, I want to make up with Allah. I want to make the connection with Allah. He said, if you want to do salah, that's it then. Forget everything and do salah with Allah. Make the connection with Allah. When you make the connection with Allah, then Allah loves that person so much. Tell me another event I remember, subhanAllah. I'm taking your time up. I'd like to share this with you. What can I do? I don't stop. When I start speaking, then I keep continuing. Yes, so I'll ask you forgiveness, please. I'm taking up time. So another event, Hazrat Ibrahim Ibn Adam, and he saw an alcoholic. He's drinking alcohol, and he was young, and for days he'd been drinking alcohol, and he saw him. Ibrahim bin Adam, he said, "What is it you're doing, my friend? What's this hal you've made yourself?" He got close to him and he cleaned his mouth with water. He said, "Look, azan's taking place and you're sat here and you're drinking alcohol and your mouth is dirty in the stink." And he cleaned his mouth with water and he said, "Recite the kalama." He taught him the kalama and he did dhikr as well at that time. He explained to him that have love for Allah, make a connection with Allah. Why are you committing this sin and why are you doing wrong? Give him nasiha, good advice. So after 3 days he heard Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah, that a new Abdal has come to this locality. New Abdal. And if you want to meet him, you can meet him. Abdal, Ibrahim ibn Adam, because there's a post, there's a rank of walis of Allah, Abdal. Who is this Abdal has come? So he travelled. When he went to, so who's that man? The same man 3 days ago he did dua for that person. Subhanallah. He looked at him closely, he's that same man. And when he looked at him, he said, "You look at me closely, staring at me, I'm the same man." He said, "Now you were like this? What's happened to you? What occurred? What happened here? Everything?" Subhanallah. He said, "The Allah Ta'ala announced, Ibn Adam, it was due to you and you are surprised at his conclusion that do you not remember that you met this person and you to please me, to make me happy, Allah is saying that you wiped his mouth from the alcohol and the stench and you washed his face and you sat him next to you, taught him kalama, you taught him the dhikr to please me, Allah is saying, and due to pleasing me you did these actions, so to please you I wiped his heart away from the defects and the dirt and I wiped his heart such and made it clean." Then it wasn't a small amount of cleaning, so much I cleaned it from the highest rank of all Allah, they submit to him because of his glory. Subhanallah. So this is the love that Allah Ta'ala loves his wali. Within a second, today, if you make a connection with Allah, you want to make connection with Allah? Then I'll tell you, start it, then go on to that journey. Put your hands up if you want to make a connection with Allah. And then we'll see it right now who's the coward if you don't put the hands up. Whose hands are not up who doesn't want to make connection with Allah? I'll tell you, you'll be a real coward who doesn't put his hands up, who doesn't want to make a connection with Allah. Put your hands down. So he said that in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, the verse Allah Ta'ala said that straight away you'll make that connection with Allah. The wali, when Allah makes the promise, he fulfills that promise. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That Allah says, follow my Prophet, follow the Sunnah of my Nabi, Allah says, you'll become my beloved. That's it. That's the solution. That is there any distance of becoming the beloved of Allah? Not that you are loving Allah. No, Allah says, I will start to love you if you follow my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when the believer in Allah starts to love Allah, he has high rank, status, people respect him, he's in awe, the whole of creation knows him. But imagine that human being, that Allah starts to love that human being. And there's only one action that can achieve that status. Only one action Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to attain that. No other condition. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah says, whatever the sunnah my Rasulullah implemented, you practice that. Wherever you live in life. America, USA, London, France, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Indian subcontinent, wherever you live in the world, who is the one who sends? Allah says, "In Allah, ala kulli shayin qadir." I send the believers, whatever job I give you, occupation, business, Allah, it's me who sends you. Your job, a Muslim, is one. Fattabiuni, you have to do amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the one action of a Muslim from beginning to end of his life. When you do this, Allah says, you have no need to run after me. Allah says, I will remember you and I will love you. Subhanallah. Tell me what's left after that. What's left after that? That's the one reason why the glory, the status, the iman, the status, karamat, the miracles, everything, power, glory, status, love, everything is dependent on this one factor. Dunya and akhirah, Jannah, paradise, firdaus. Everything a Muslim will attain only through this one action. Fattabiuni. If we don't have this action in our lives, fattabiuni, following the sunnah, I tell you, this is the decision of the Quran. Not Mufti Sahab's fatwa. This is not some Mulana Sahab's fatwa. The decision of the Quran, and who has stamped on this decision, Rasulullah decided, fattabiuni yuhibbukum Allah. Oh my Nabi, tell the people, Allah said. Subhanallah. Allah announced clearly. من احب سنتي فمن احبني من احب سنتي فقد احبني. Rasul Islam said, whoever loves my sunnah, I have loved that person. Verily I love them. Strive for a deen, taught to us in this hadith. All desires, all things we want, they are all dramas. I do this action, I don't have iman, I don't feel strong. Less is I don't want nothing. I want one action. Fattabiuni. 100% in your life, it should be a reflection of the practice of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No drama, no claims, false claims, no empty voids. Everything ups and downs in your life will be a test. Allah says, I will challenge you, test you to elevate your status. Here you get a hurdle, follow the sunnah, give this up for the sunnah, give this up for the sunnah. You keep on giving up for the sunnah, Allah says, I'll keep on elevating your status. Why? Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Everything is in my control, Allah says. Everything's in my control. I'll test you. I'll give you barriers and tests and issues and problems. Through every test, you'll get elevation. Allah says, if you stick firm to the sunnah. Is this action sunnah? I'll practice it. Is this against the sunnah? I leave it. Am I allowed to do this? This person gives fatwa, you can do this. No, forget the fatwa. I only accept the fatwa of the heart. I cannot do this. This is against the sunnah, I leave this. This is sunnah, I'll do it. If it's against, if you do this, people say, oh, you'll be far behind. Doesn't matter if I'm far behind. Doesn't matter if I'm far behind. That will make the condition that keep, how long will you do this? How will you do this? Janaza, people pass away. But how will I achieve success? Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Bukhari, Alhamdulillah. Where these people live their lives until their death? People remember them today. Imam Bukhari, Alhamdulillah. Bukhari Sharif. Imagine, when we do Khatam of Bukhari Sharif, when people's du'as accepted in the Khatam of Bukhari Sharif. After Quran Sharif, the greatest kitab, Sahih al-Bukhari. Yes, that when there's a gathering of the after Quran, the next, the kitab in status is Bukhari Sharif. And when did he pass away? How did he pass away? What did he do in his life? Effort, struggle, strive. The highest level of the mu'min, their lives, they weren't for eating or drinking. You can die like dogs and you go into the, just if we think we're born and eat and drink and get married and kids and plots and land and buildings, and you die, you just go into the grave. Otherwise make your life objective one. I am alive for one objective. I'm a Muslim and I want to love Rasulullah and follow his deen. I want to travel the life of Ishq-e Rasul. The people get shocked. How can this person be like this? Look how he's living. How did he do this? How did he suddenly? There's no sudden practice in Islam. There's no sudden. Everything is according to Allah's desire and Allah's permission. Do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? That's it. Today's decision, today's lesson, the makeup with Allah today, make the connection with Allah, inshallah you'll attain success story. Promise to Allah, Allah, every sunnah of Rasulullah is the greatest action in life, and Allah life will bring this. And we realize that the biggest, the greatest hadith of Rasulullah, that as the eras and the generations go further away from him, the fitnas will come. There's Quran today, Salah, there are speeches and talks. Everything is in the Muslim world. Dawah, tabligh, propagation. But there's one thing we don't have today. Sunnah-e Rasulullah is not in the ummah today. We speak about the sunnah, talk about the sunnah, but no amal, no practice. They took someone away, imam, my brother. No, it's no necessary to wear imam. Inshallah, one day I'll wear the imam. Beard, no, inshallah, one day. The beard, why don't you keep the beard? Inshallah, I'll keep the beard. No, don't talk about this anymore. We don't talk about this. The will do what we like and follow our desires. This is deen. Deen is only one. Islam is only one action. Islam is only one action. Ittaba'i Rasul. Following Rasulullah, because Allah will only be happy with one condition. Allah says that I can only be happy through one ibadah. One ibadah. Only that thing is defined as ibadah, that Allah has defined as ibadah. Allah says you can do all other actions and worships. Allah is not happy. Allah says I'll make you my mahbub. Imagine the style of this point. Imagine the learning, the greatest ibadah. All other worships come behind this. All other worships. And the greatest test of a mu'min is on this one point. Following sunnah, he'll be a namazi, haji, ghazi, everything. When you talk about sunnah, no, please, it's too hard. Don't talk about eating, drinking, standing, walking, traveling, wearing attire. Everything has to be according to the sunnah, my friends. Without this, if anyone's talking, he is the biggest dajjal of the age. I announce this today. If you want to learn today, if there's fitna of dajjal, the biggest fitna of dajjal, there'll be people praying salah, tabligh, propagation, masjids, Quran, hadith, but there'll be no sunnah, then he's empty. Zero. This is fitna, biggest fitna of this day and age of qiyamah. The biggest fitna today. That people will claim everything is sparkles with one, Everything shines with what? With He who is the shiniest, and He is the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything shines due to Him. Light comes due to Him. If there's nothing of His sunnah, then there's darkness. If you want success from this world, if you want your salah to be accepted, you want your sujood to be accepted, if you want your Quran to be accepted, you want your recitation to be accepted, your dawah to be accepted, your tabligh to be accepted, then there's only one action, one condition. You have to put the batteries into actions. Which battery? Sunnat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not talking, not listening. Amal, practice. Practice. That's it. Sunnah is to practice. Change your faces, change your appearances. And in this day and age, oh no, it's about olden times. Forget the olden times. Every era, every generation, there's one deen until Qiyamah. What's that? Deen al-Islam. Deen al-Islam, the same deen from the time before till Qiyamah, it won't change. No. Yes, fitnas will come. Dajjali fitna, tests and tribulations and barriers. We don't care about that. Whoever has sunnah in his hand and follows sunnah, no fitna can spoil him. Nothing can spoil him. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to practice this. Today's few words, this is beneficial for our life. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability that we can practice upon them. And the real differentiation between darkness and light is this, my brothers. Definitely we should worship, do amal, do nice amal. But be careful of one underlying point. That am I practicing the sunnah of the Habib of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What is stopping me? Why am I afraid? Why am I scared of this and that? Take all the fears out. Because there's ta'awuz. Seek refuge and protection Allah. That don't be cowards. The biggest coward is he who's scared of practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The biggest coward woman is she who's afraid of following the sunnah of Rasulullah. The biggest munafiq hypocrite is he who's scared of following the sunnah of Rasulullah. I can show you people. I can show you messages of people. They criticize the sunnah of Rasulullah. You think they're right? Such statements people utter and they're amazed and they still think they're Muslims? Such severe opposition to the sunnah. Muslims, opposition to the sunnah. They're opposite. They're afraid. They criticize Muslims with their names. They say, we don't believe in sunnah. We have no relationship with the sunnah. It's not for this day and age, they say. It's not for this era. And they call themselves Muslims. That's why I'm saying, save your children. Nothing will benefit you, alhamdulillah. Nothing will benefit you. If you do amal on the sunnah, your salah will be accepted. Your jamaat will be accepted. Your Quran will be corrected. That tomorrow will be asked about the sunnah. That you didn't do practice on the sunnah. Your food, your drink, your earnings. Your earnings, everything, your wealth, was according to the sunnah? Because your whole life, not just sunnah, that you wear a turban. That's it. No. That you keep the beard. No. Everything. That this isn't just sunnah. Sunnah is the complete way of life. Everything should be according to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything. A to Z. Akhlaq, inside, outside, internal, external. Everything. Keep trying. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I'm not doing publicity. Take my kitab and read my kitab, the book that was published. Yes. And the name is beautiful. The Sunnah Ways. What a great kitab. Yes, follow those ways. The whole deen is in that kitab. The whole deen is in that kitab. And how great a miracle that such a person who had no connection with this ilm, he is given the ability to write this knowledge. Because those people can be protected who follow this ilm. The itaqad, you need the base foundation. This is the kitab of our sheikh. Read it so that your itaqad and your belief and your faith will strengthen, and then the treasures will come out of that, inshallah. But those whose itiqad and belief is weak, they don't touch the book. Oh no, he's not an alim, he's not a scholar, we don't need to read this book. Oh, just try and read that book and see the effect. That it's not about just reading the kitab, it's not about listening to the kitab, it's what? It is about doing, practicing the kitab. Just read one page every day, and those who are doing, I'm not talking about here, America, USA, forget about naming the countries, I'm not giving you a report here, that there are mashallah women folk who are training their children, giving du'as. They're doing du'as. Hazrat Subhanallah, what a great kitab you've written. Our children's lives have been made. Every day in the night we give them sabak. We give them ta'aleem of this kitab. And exactly according to the time we do this, we read this kitab. But today, those people themselves, those who should follow, they don't open the book, they don't read it, they don't share it. They think that it's just for the bookshelf. Or selling, I don't sell anything. I don't even have the kitab. I don't even have one, just have one point. I don't even have that kitab. So how can I read it? Or selling it for earning? For making money? profit. Can you imagine that I'm earning money from publishing this book and selling? I don't even have that kitab. The subhanallah, there are other people who publish it, to print it, to deliver it. I have no link with that physically. So if somebody asks me for the book, I don't even have a copy myself. Subhanallah, I don't have the money, I don't count it, etc. I don't collect any of the proceedings. But I say one thing, beware, that there's no profit from this kitab, from this book. The amount that are published and printed, the amount that comes, we spend again and we distribute again. Subhanallah, no profit. Take the benefit. What can we do? Where's the profit going to go to from this kitab? Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala, every human being, He's created because this is our deen, our platform, our breath, our life, our ruh. So Allah Ta'ala says, spread the sunnah, spread the sunnahs. Allah Ta'ala doesn't see the person. Allah takes work from the person, whoever He likes. Allah takes the work of the deen from that person. He doesn't need a degree. He doesn't need a degree or a certificate. Allah says, I'll take the work of the deen from any person. That subhanallah, people are amazed around that person, that he is doing such a work of the deen. How did Allah select this person? So especially when there's karamat, a miracle, that when such people come from a person who has no learning, man, then understand that this is Allah Ta'ala's selection. This is bi'idhnillah. This cannot be a minor thing. Subhanallah. Then more you should grab that learning and go after that company. That Allah Ta'ala selected this and give me this guidance. Allah has given me this guidance from this human being who himself is propagating that deen, that he himself doesn't have the learnings and the skills, but Allah Ta'ala has enabled that person to spread the deen. Then most definitely Allah Ta'ala selected this person. Subhanallah. Will you read definitely this book? Yes. Then do amal on that book as well. Eventually, there's a great dua at the end I've put in that book. To conclude, Allah Ta'ala enabled that dua to be written. Subhanallah, I was amazed after that dua was included. That this kitab, Allah Ta'ala, what's the dua Allah has put in the end? When I read it, I was amazed. And so when you read it, you'll see what a great dua there is when the book concludes. So for those who read and for those who practice and those who listen, for those who read and those who listen and for those who do amal. You get your children, sit them in the evening, read. Not just the for example, you read. Our duty is to read and to share. And it's Allah who will enable us to practice. That's it. 5 minutes, say, no, it's ta'aleem. You know, just like ta'aleem we do, or don't we do ta'aleem? That's ta'aleem. Yeah, according to the sunnah. The sunnah ta'aleem, just like, mashallah, you do fazail-e-hajj and fazail-e-sadaqat, fazail-e-thikr. So this is fazail-e-sunnah, this kitab. Subhanallah. So do amal on this. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and accept this. Ameen. Recite the Rushi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrahmanirrahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-musaleen. Shafi'in al-musaleen. Tawwa'yasin. Al-Amin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa'ala muhammadin nabiyyil ummiyyi wa zawjihi ummahatil mu'minin. Wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baytihi. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم. Allahumma inna ala zikriko wa shukriko wa husni ibadatika. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabannar wa qina azabal qabr wa qina azabal hashr wa qina azabal mizan wa adkhilna jannata ma'al abrar ya aziz ya ghaffar ya rabbul alamin ya rabbul alamin. Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'dal maut. Allahumma inna ala muradil maut wa sakratil maut. Ya qadi al hajat ikta hajatina, ya dafi al balayat itfa balayatina, ya shafi al murad ishfa muradina. Allahumma afina bi badni, Allahumma afina bi sami, Allahumma afina bi basri, Allahumma afina bi basri, Allahumma afina bi basri, Allahumma afina fi qalbi, Allahumma afina fi qalbi. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa zurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Allahumma dammirhum huma huwa rabbayani saghira. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li walidayyana wa ustazayyana wa mashayikhina wa jami'al mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. Allah ya mu'min wal nawwar bi rahmatika ya rahamur rahimin. Birahmatika ya arhamur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Nah.